Before we read God's word, let's go to the hymn in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word and what it communicates to us about you and what you have done for us. We thank you for this place, your courts of worship. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your presence fully and freely because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can find rest for our souls. Lord, we pray you would bless the reading and preaching of your word today. Change us, transform us, make us more like Jesus. Draw us closer to yourself. Use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Have you ever been on vacation or on a trip and thought to yourself, boy, I don't want to go home. I think I could, I would rather be here right now than anywhere else on the face of the earth. And as a matter of fact, I would rather trade 1,000 days anywhere else for one day, just right here. Maybe it's a place that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from home or work. Maybe it's on the golf course or the basketball court or camping in the woods. Or maybe if you're a bit of a geek like me, it's in a college or seminary class studying theology. Maybe you really enjoy your job and you'd rather be there at work than anywhere else doing anything else, although it's probably not the case. But perhaps it's the simple and yet precious moment shared with close friends and family. There's possibly many places, many moments which would move you to say, I would rather spend one day right here than 1,000 elsewhere. And as you may well know, the scriptures speak of a place that is to be longed for more than any place else. The scriptures speak of a place which is said, better is one day here than 1,000 elsewhere. And we read of that place in Psalm 84. In the psalm, we hear the psalmist speak of a place that's to be preferred, longed for, over and above any other place or moment that we might experience or think of. And so look with me to Psalm 84 and listen for and see the place for which the psalmist longs. We'll begin with verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, or tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Well, did you notice the place of which the psalmist speaks? The place for which he longs? The place that's better than anywhere else? How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And verse 10, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The psalmist views one day in God's courts as better than 1,000 elsewhere. And we're going to consider this idea this morning. We're going to consider why one day in God's court could be better than 1,000 elsewhere. And while there are so many reasons why that is true, we're only going to consider four of them this morning from various places in Scripture. But my hope is that by the end of our time this morning, that you will come to the same place the psalmist does. And you'll confess to God along with the psalmist, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. That's my prayer, that you will long for the worship of God, for it's truly better than anything else. Well, first, let's examine why this is so. And we see that it's because in God's courts, or God's worship, is where God meets with you. It's where God meets with you. One of the reasons the psalmist views one day in God's court as better than 1,000 elsewhere is because he recognizes that in the worship of God, God comes to meet with him. Listen to what God says in Exodus chapter 29. Verses 43 through 45. He says, I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as his priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. So God had commanded Moses to have the people of Israel construct a tent of worship, the tabernacle, as a place of worship. And this tabernacle, as we see in this passage, was called the tent or tabernacle of meeting, because this is the place where God would come to meet with his people. As he says, I will dwell among the children of Israel. And we're going to see in a little bit how God would descend in his cloud of glory to fill the tabernacle and meet with his people. And in the psalmist's mind, this is an absolutely incredible thing. The God of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God, the holy and righteous Lord, coming down to dwell and rest in the midst of his worshiping church. How incredible. How amazing that is. The psalmist recognizes that to come to worship is to be in the very presence of God Almighty. And how could it possibly be any better anywhere else than in God's presence? And this reality of God descending into the midst of his people to dwell in the midst of his worshiping church isn't something that was only true in the Old Testament and is no longer true today. But this reality of God being with his people during worship is something that was assumed and understood by the writers of the New Testament as something that we experience of our God today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20, Paul talks about the idea of individual Christians being temples of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we should treat our bodies as holy ground. And the Apostle Peter identifies each individual Christian as living stones. But he also says that each one of those stones isn't meant to be left lying around by itself. But as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, these living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a place where spiritual sacrifices are offered. So each individual living stone comes together to form a spiritual house of worship, a temple for the living God. And so Paul not only identifies individual believers as temples of the Holy Spirit, but he goes on to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that the corporate body together is the temple of God in which God himself dwells. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 6, 16. For you, plural, you, yins, are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. You see, even though God is present everywhere, he manifests himself in a very special way among his gathered people. Even though God was essentially present everywhere as the Israelites walked through the wilderness, God would descend in a special, gracious way whenever they came to worship him. And the same thing is true today. Even though God is everywhere, even living inside you by his Spirit, still in a very special and gracious way, he descends to meet with his people when they gather together for worship. And this is what moves the heart of the psalmist to say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, because during that time in God's court, in God's temple, in God's worship, the Lord himself would come down and dwell with his people. During that time in worship, that place on earth would become an outpost of heaven, and the psalmist knew that he could go and meet with his Creator and his Redeemer. And so when you think about the worship of God, you think about it as a place and as a time when God actually comes here to be with you, to dwell with his people, to meet with his people, to meet with you. I mean, what a privilege you have as a believer. What a privilege you have every time you meet for worship that God comes and he meets here with you. You have the opportunity every single week to meet with your Creator and your Redeemer. Is it better to you to be in God's courts, to be in God's worship, than to be anywhere else, doing anything else? It was so for the psalmist, and I pray that it will be for you as well. But meeting with God is not the only reason it was better to be in God's courts than anywhere else. But the psalmist also understood that in God's courts is where God speaks to his people. That's our second point. It's better to be in the worship of God than anywhere else because it's where God speaks to you. Listen to what we find in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34, on into Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them." And so in this passage, we see God traveling with his people through the wilderness. And whenever he wanted to speak with them, he would have them stop and he would descend into the tabernacle of meeting. And God would speak his words to Moses, and then Moses would turn around and communicate God's words to God's people. Moses acted as God's prophet, one who communicates God's word and will to God's people. And so part of the worship of God for the people of Israel was to have God's word communicated to them, which is why throughout the Old Testament history, Scripture would not only be read to the people of God in the worship, but there would be someone who would expound it, a preacher, one fulfilling that prophetic role, communicating God's word, interpreting God's word and will to his people. And so the psalmist viewed the worship of God as being better than being anywhere else because he knew that's where he could go to hear God himself speak to the people through his written and preached word. And so then when you come to worship, do you come expecting and desiring to hear God's word communicated to you? As we've seen, when we come together, God is here in our midst, and by his Spirit, during this time of his special gracious presence with us, he anoints his word as it's read and as it's preached. During this time, God meets with you, and he speaks to you his very words. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So the Thessalonians, they heard the preaching of Paul and his companions, and they didn't hear it simply as the proclamation of men. Now, to them, these words came from men, even though they were broken jars of clay as they were. They heard the preaching, and it was received as though God were speaking to them, which is what Paul says it is in truth, the word of God. And as that the preaching communicates God's word, it goes into the hearts of those who believed, and they are changed. And so the Puritan John Owen puts it this way. He says, "The written word is like the sun in the sky. It has in it all spiritual light and heat, but the preaching of the word of God is the motion and beams of the sun, which actually and effectually communicate that light and heat to all creatures. So the worship of God is the place in which the Word of God shines its light and warmth upon you through the reading and preaching of it. So how much better then is it to be where God speaks to you and changes you than through the preaching of the Word than to be anywhere else on the face of the earth? And this idea of being changed by God is the third reason I think that the psalmist views one day in God's courts as better than 1,000 elsewhere. It's better to be in the worship of God than anywhere else because it's where God changes you. It's where God sanctifies you. You know, God's names are always more than just simple titles. God's names always teach us something about who He is, His character, and His work. And there are several places in the Old Testament where God gives us the name Yahweh Makadishkem. Yahweh Makadishkem, meaning the Lord who sanctifies you. There are several places where that name appears, but I want to look at just two in particular. In Exodus 31:13, we read, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Ezekiel 20:12, we read, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." So in those verses, God identifies that He is the one who sanctifies His people. And in these two verses, God connects His name and this work of sanctifying His people with His command to observe the Sabbath day. God points out in both passages that He gives the Sabbath as a continual ordinance and sign to His people that He is the one who sanctifies them. This is part of the reason why God commands us to observe the Sabbath. It's so that we would know that God is our sanctifier. Now, what is sanctification? Well, Louis Berkhof gives this good definition. He says, "Sanctification may be defined as that gracious and continuous operation of the Holy Spirit by which He purifies the sinner, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to perform good works." This is a good definition of sanctification. And in that definition, we see that it is a work of God, which is why God takes that title to Himself, the Lord who sanctifies you. I'm the one who does it, is what God is saying. God is the one who grants and performs progress in the life of the believer. And the Sabbath is to remind us that God is the one who is doing this work in us. Now, how is it then that the Sabbath would remind us of this? Why would the Sabbath remind us that God is our sanctifier? Well, the Sabbath is a sign that God is our sanctifier because God uses this day as a means for our sanctification. He uses this day as a means for our sanctification. The Sabbath is God's appointed opportunity for His people to grow in grace. And there we begin to see the reason why it was better in the psalmist's mind to be in the worship of God in God's courts than anywhere else. Because think about what the Sabbath day is to entail. It's a day in which we are to leave all of the thoughts and duties of our weekly work and activities behind us so we may give ourselves over entirely to spiritual thoughts and to the worship of God, focus on God. The Sabbath day is a day in which we enter into God's presence. It's a day in which we hear His word preached. It's a day in which we partake of the sacraments. It's a day when we engage in corporate prayer. It's a day in which we engage in the reading and singing of God's word. It's a day in which we have fellowship with God's people. All of these things God uses to change us, to sanctify us. These are all means of grace. All of these things He's appointed to be experienced on the Sabbath day, especially in His worship. It was a delight to the psalmist. It's better for the psalmist to be in God's courts than anywhere else because he knew that he was going to be changed by God. Because you can't come into the presence of God and go away unchanged. He wanted to be changed by his God. He knows by coming to the worship of God and engaging in the worship of God, the sins which he struggled with in his life will be progressively put to death week after week. And he knows that he will grow in love and holiness before the Lord week after week. So God has given us the Sabbath day as a means to accomplish his work of sanctification and change in our lives. Which is why he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Now, that doesn't mean that we spend all day in church, all day in worship, but it does impact the way we think about the day. Getting up in the morning and going to church and then thinking we're finished and we can do whatever we want now for the rest of the day isn't really what God had in mind when he set apart the day, right, and sanctified the whole day for the sanctification of his people. God has given us an entire day to specifically focus on growing in our faith. He's given us an entire day to experience the means of grace that we would grow in our sanctification. And this is one of the reasons why we have both a morning and an evening service, to begin and end the day with the Lord, to mark off the day as one in which you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, because it's here in God's courts that he changes you. Well, better to be in the worship of God than anywhere else, because it's where God meets with you, it's where God speaks to you, and it's where God changes you. And fourthly and finally, friends, it's where you find rest. It's where you find rest. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In this passage, Jesus identifies himself as the place of rest. He calls out to all of those who are weary and burdened by their sin, by the emotional weight of their circumstances, by the stress and anxiety of their situations. He calls out to them and says, come to me, and you will find rest. And you know, one of the other reasons why the Sabbath day was given to the people of God was so that it would be to them a day of rest. A day when the people of God would rest from all of their labors, all of their activities throughout the week. A day that serves as a picture to us that we set aside all of our working and striving to find spiritual rest and acceptance before God, and that we can and do rely and rest on Jesus Christ. Oftentimes by week's end, many of us are tired. Many of us are weary. Many of us are burdened by our sins and the temptations of this world. And many of us bear heavy anxieties and stresses, and God has given us a day of rest. But what I find interesting, though, is where Jesus tells us that this rest is found. This rest is not found simply by not doing what you usually would do throughout the week. This rest is not found in unwinding and doing the things that you would have rather been doing throughout the week instead of working, like watching movies or playing games or sports or whatever it may be. These things can bring a measure of relaxation and peace. These things can distract our minds from the anxieties and stresses and the burdens of sin for a little while. But where is it that Jesus says we actually find rest? It's in him. It's in him. Come to me, and you will find rest. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. And this is because God sent this Jesus into the world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me, which he accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And the call is that if you come to him, if you accept him, you no longer need to work to earn acceptance before God. You no longer need to earn or work to have your sins forgiven from you. But Jesus has done it all for you. And you can rest in what he has done. And you will find rest for your souls. Brothers and sisters, on this day of rest, where do you go for your rest? Would you rather be somewhere else doing something else, or is it better to be with the one who promises and gives you rest? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, because it's here in the worship of God that Jesus meets with you. And you truly find rest for your souls, and you're reminded of that rest for your souls. There might be quite a few places on earth that you would say you would rather be for just one day instead of 1,000 days somewhere else. There may be quite a few instances and moments in your life that move you to desire that moment above everything else. But brothers and sisters, I pray with all my heart that above all of these places or moments that you would long for the worship of God more than any place else. I pray that you would long for the worship of God because it's where God Himself meets with you. It's where God Himself speaks to you. It's where God Himself changes you. And it's where God Himself gives you rest for your souls. I pray that you would say in your hearts to Jesus, better is one day in your courts, better is one day with you than 1,000 elsewhere. Friends, long for the worship of God, for it's truly better than anywhere else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great gift of worship. We thank you for the great gift of being your people and the great gift of you delighting and desiring us to come into your presence, the gift we have to be able to sing our praises to you unhindered with joy in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for giving us this time, this place to be together as you are called together people to worship you, to meet with you, to hear you speak to us, to be changed by you, to meet with Jesus and be reminded of the rest we have for our souls. We need to rest. Grant it to us. In Jesus' name we pray.